Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. Hello, and welcome to the Wide Stream. My name is Mark Leslie LeFave, and with me is
Bradley Charbonneau. Hello.
Hey, Bradley. Bradley on the same continent as me for how many weeks in a row now? This is exciting. Oh,
I know. It's amazing. A whole month I'm here.
Oh, my God. We got to see each other in person last week at Author Nation.
Yeah,
so
that awesome. Was great.
But we are two of the authors from the Wide for the Win group from the board who actually have done nonfiction. And we wanted to share strategies for nonfiction.
Yeah. You know, actually, Deanna in accounting.
No. Oh yeah.
And as many authors, you know, especially last week at Author Nation, there's 2,000 authors there, and I had my little nonfiction tag on, and a lot of people come up. Oh, I do some nonfiction too. So yeah. I think for a lot of fiction authors, I mean, like you, Mark, a lot of fiction authors, they do, I don't know, what is it, 80-20 maybe.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't even think to add a nonfiction tag. But then again, if I started adding tags, I would have been like walking like really dragging on the floor like a man with an old man with a long beard. So,
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, we thought we would talk about strategies for nonfiction, and I know you had some great ideas. I think that you maybe start with because typically when people say wide versus exclusive, they limit their thinking to ebooks.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, in fact, that's the entire, well, not the entire, but wide sort of, I think, came to be because of the whole KU exclusive thing, which I think not everybody totally gets this. It really is only about ebooks, that whole exclusive KU, Kindle Unlimited thing. It's all only ebooks, right? There's so much more. And, you know, I think I'd like to open up with, so Mark and I met last week in person at the Author Nation Writers Conference in Las Vegas, which was just fantastic. And there were so many talks about AI. And so AI, and especially in the sense of words, creating words, pages, right, in books. So again, that's quite niche, right? Words in books. But hey, we're writers, that's what we do. So they talked a lot about AI and how it can help the writers and all that. And then, but I thought about it, I thought, wait a minute, we are at an in-person conference, real life. And we're talking to other humans in person, in real time, standing in front of each other. And, you know, AI can't help you there, right? Because, well, I suppose it probably will in the future.
glasses on and it's like, oh, your name's Bradley. His name tag's twisted, but I still know his name is Bradley because it helped. that was augmented reality, right?
Yeah. Right. And I know you live in the Netherlands and I know this is your birthday and your social security number. So... what was cool about it is that it was in person and we are speaking and there was so much more, and there are presenters up there presenting. Well, are those words on a page? No, it's words spoken at a live presentation. So we got into presentation and even as nonfiction authors with presentation skills, for example, because again, I mean, it was so focused on AI. Part of my thinking last week was, okay, if AI is going to do these things, what is my creative advantage as a human? What can I do that the AI bot cannot? So that was sort of my thinking. And also for our chat today here, I was thinking about what can the AI bot not yet do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's really good. I'm just saying, Nikki says hello. Hey, Nikki, thanks for popping in and watching this.
Hi, Nikki.
And that's so critical because this is where I think a lot of the focus is on, yes, romance is, 90% of the... or 80% of most book sales on a given day for obvious reasons. We all need to escape into some happy ending all the time. Yeah. It's very critical and romance is more important than ever before. However, not a lot of focus is on, well, what do I do as a nonfiction author? So a couple of things. Yeah. I thought I'd start off with just a couple of thoughts and whatever is that. So signing up for your author newsletter. So one of the tips I was thinking, I was, okay, so it's like, I have a prequel story. Uh-oh, there's no prequel story. Uh-oh, what do I do? Or what do I have, like, book one in a series? Well, what if all my books are standalone books? Well, as a nonfiction author, you probably have a specialty, you have an understanding, you have something. That's where you can create either, could be a single page. For example, we were handing out at Author Nation, since we were talking about it, handing out these beautiful, who designed the cards? Was it Deanna that put them together, or Susie designed them? And Deanna printed them. And it had the white for the window, beautiful art that Susie has designed. But then the back is 10 tips for going wide, which we're helping people with. So potentially, depending upon your expertise, is having something like that where sign up for my author newsletter and get this resource. Maybe it's a chapter your nonfiction book that's on a very specific topic that's going to help people. Maybe it's like a one sheet that has like bullet points to help you with something. Maybe it's a worksheet or something that's going to, you know, Deanna, for example, as an expert on accounting, hey, here's a worksheet to calculate your whatever cost of revenue. You just plug these numbers in here and bam, you're good to go. Right.
Yeah.
So I think as a nonfiction author, you can leverage some of the same strategies that you are often talked about in fiction spaces, but just leverage them with your expertise and providing that value, which is not maybe a free ebook, which is the prequel book or whatever. Right.
And even continuing on the Deanna and the accounting strategy there, I think she had talked about it. Even I heard other talk about it with some Amazon ads folks. They were talking about having a spreadsheet. Here's this fancy spreadsheet with this template with formulas built in. Well, we're already, you know, here we are in the discussion of wide. Well, we're already wide, right? That a spreadsheet is not a book. And when I think of wide, I often think, what's beyond the book?
Yes.
The book is sort of a given, is the book. And so also I like to think, what is in that book? You already created all this knowledge or information or wisdom. It's all in this encapsulated format. And it might be a book. And then I like to think, I mean, here we are on video. And, you know, I suppose, Mark, you and I could have co-written a half hour or something or other and made a book. But no, we're here on YouTube and StreamYard, and we're streaming away and in the Circle group and whatnot. So that's yet another medium for potentially the same content. So if you have the same content, I like to think, I mean, Joanna Penn is an expert at this. What are the multiple different pathways you can go down with that exact same? Let's stick with Deanna here for a second, because it's very simple with accounting and numbers and Excel spreadsheets. And she could have a walkthrough. She could have a video walkthrough of the Excel spreadsheet, for example.
Like, yeah.
And she could have, well, I suppose, an audio only describing the Excel spreadsheet.
That might be a little rough. She's describing it while you're looking at it as well. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, right. Open up the spreadsheet, and on the first tab, you'll see.
You're right.
Here, you know.
There you go.
So, yeah, you can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, one of the things I've also done is taken this beyond. So, for example, I've also traditionally published, which is even a different sort of wide. And one of my books, for example, Haunted Hamilton, which is true ghost stories. So it's nonfiction, but true ghost stories. And the publisher purchased the rights, grabbed up all the rights, but they never made an audiobook. And so one of the things used is I leveraged a different technology, a voice map, which is GPS enabled walking tours. And I was like, all right, all the research that I put into the book that I licensed to them, they have the book version of it. So I can't do an audio book version of it, but I can do a guided walking tour, GPS enabled walking tour based on the same research. So again, and I can sell that and make money off it, and it helps sell the book too.
Yeah. You did that? I love those things.
Yeah. But again, it's kind of like, okay, these rights are locked up, but now I can take, because again, you have knowledge as a nonfiction author. You've put your knowledge into a book. A book is just one kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there are other ways, right? So you can do online videos. This was a GPS enabled walking tour, and there's multiple GPS enabled walking tour apps on the market. This is voice map is just one of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can put your knowledge into something like that. I mean, maybe you're a big, you know, we were just in Vegas. Maybe you're a big fan of architecture, and your book is about different architecture and stuff. Well, I'm walking tour, guided architecture tour, and say, hey, and again, I opened it up with, hi, this is Mark Leslie, the author of Haunted Hamilton. Many of these stories are also appear in the book, but in a different format. La, 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 la. You know, you can use that to sell. Another thing I think we don't think about is there is a local library in your neighborhood, most likely. Yeah. Chances are there is some sort of nearby within driving distance local library. You have an expertise that some other people might want. Let's take accounting, for example.
Yeah.
Let's take basic accounting for authors and how to do calculations. Someone like Deanna going in and doing a talk about basic accounting principles for authors and how authors can understand some basic things like that. You're providing the library content that's valuable for free for their patrons. Usually the library is going to bring in your book, or that's also an opportunity for you to, you know, to either upsell to whatever, like, hey, I'm doing this free workshop, but if you want to work one-on-one with me, I am also available to be hired. I mean, I've done, of course, to flip the hat, I've done talks, particularly in October, on ghosts, on not just on, you know, some interesting local ghosts, but I've done the business of telling ghost stories. And I've shared with wannabe writers who are in the room how I leverage selling books to publishers and making money off of true ghost stories.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because then as a nonfiction author, depending on the nonfiction genre there, but often you are the brand.
Yes.
So going to the library and them asking, oh, gee, can you tell me more about this? Or could you actually help me with this?
Yeah.
Well, matter of fact, you know, I do coaching, or I do consulting, or I have a course, or, you know, and even if you go down that path, I mean, also, you know, go talk with other nonfiction authors, or go check out what other nonfiction authors are doing and what are they offering. So, for example, I like checklists.
Yeah.
And yet, so we had on one of our board meeting calls, I specifically remember Susie saying, oh, good, give me a PDF download of a pretty checklist, and I'm thrilled. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, I don't want your PDF printout download. I'm never going to print it out. I want the Asana project management tool checklist.
Right. And
so, for example, I'll geek out here a minute. In Asana, you can create a checklist, and you can export it. Here's the checklist, the 10 steps, here we go, Mark. 10 steps for going wide, 10 strategies for going wide. So instead of having that be a YouTube video, or not instead, in addition to having it being, there you go.
Now you're talking wide, my friend.
Now we're talking wide. In addition to the YouTube video we had, to the podcast episode we had, to the even the little chopped up segments for YouTube shorts I created from that video, what if somebody said, gee, I'd sure love a checklist so that I knew how many of the 10 I did. And one person's going to say, wow, I would love a PDF pretty downloaded thingamajig paper thing that I'm going to print out. Or there's people like me who say, I don't want that paper thing. I want that Asana. And yes, I'm geeking out about Asana because I kind of like Asana. But what I love about Asana.
Going into Asana. I get all sweaty.
No. terrible
dad joke sorry,
you had me there. Wow, can we get some transcription of that Sauna?
Yes,
that was quick, Mark. I gotta say, that was good. I liked it. So in Asana you can export this checklist, and then all you do is you give a tiny little file and you say drop this into Asana, and you have your the recipient has this pretty checklist and they can go digitally check it off. So there's a gazillion options, and we just off the cuff talked about Deanna and her accounting, and here we have, you know, 7 ideas for her, just talking over 10 minutes.
So another thing I love to leverage is I love to leverage local media, and I know it seems old hat because it's all about cost per click ads and stuff. So one of the challenges you'll run into with nonfiction is you go to BookBub and there's like one category for nonfiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I've got some authors I work with, for example, and it's, true crime. So it's a memoir from a retired homicide detective. Well, it just goes into nonfiction with the business books, with this.
Yeah.
So it's a little harder, right? You can potentially, with ads, you can target the right audience. But I like to think outside of the digital as well, because nonfiction books, a lot of people still want the print version of them. They still want to highlight them and stuff like that. And I've had a lot of luck, not just on podcasts that specialize in the topic, not podcasts for writers. You're not going to sell books unless they're books for writers, to podcasts for writers, but going on a specialized podcast that, you know, about accounting or about true ghosts or whatever. I have done stuff with local. So there's often local AM talk radio stations in your community. They could be with a local college. They could be, it could be public or public, not public funded, but you know what I mean? Like a commercial radio station
well. Yeah.
And so like the morning talk, like the talk radio, they need to fill stuff. So if you have an expertise and you can bring that expertise to them, you're bringing them free value and content as well. Again, I'll go back to the ghosts. Often in October, all I have to do is reach out to some local radio stations and say, I got some really fun ghost stories from the area. I'd love to come in and talk with you about it or whatever. Nice. The other thing you could do potentially, if they're not willing to have you come into the studio, because the different studios will offer different things. I've also done trivia books about, you know, Die Hard or Planes, Trains and Automobiles or whatever, is providing trivia questions that they can use for the existing shows. Like they often have game shows and they often have prizes they need to give out. It's like, here, I'm giving you some cool seasonal questions that are related to my area. And all, I mean, all I'm really asking for is, and these questions are derived from Mark Leslie's book, right? So you're you're providing value and you're getting into a different audience as well. You're getting into that captive audience that may be listening while in their car or listening while they're at work.
Yeah, that's a very different audience than that the AM radio audience driving to commuting to work or whatever. That's a really cool idea.
So
to continue on the audio one, and again, I realized I'm sounding very much like a techie guy, and I kind of am. But
he's going to geek out over some other.
I'm going to geek out. Hold on. We need a disclaimer. We're going to shield your eyes. We're going tech. For example, with like I as a nonfiction author, I have narrated my own audiobooks.
Yeah.
So I have the files. But even if you don't narrate your own books, ideally you should have the rights to the files, and you can be able to get the files. And if you don't have an exclusive contract with your audio distributor, and ideally you have those files. So what you can do with those files, one thing I've done is I've exported, because I have the audio files, it's quite easy in the podcasting world. You can do two things. You can just make like one chapter is one episode of your podcast.
Yeah.
And so now I'm talking about your own podcast. And if you don't have a podcast, you could even pitch a podcast to be a guest on it, which is a whole other topic, which is a great one. And also say, hey, you know what? I do have some audio snippets of me, the author, reading my nonfiction book, if you'd like to drop those in to our conversation. So that's one thing with you. Ideally, you've already done the audiobook. And if you haven't done it, maybe you're even inspired now because I'm offering up even more avenues to just the audiobook sales, because then you can put it onto a podcast. And another thing is YouTube. I'm clearly a fan of YouTube, but. Yeah. YouTube recently, 2024, they now have in YouTube Music, you can have a sort of a podcast in YouTube. So that there's a lot of people, me included, I often listen to YouTube. I don't necessarily watch. I have my phone in my pocket. I'm walking with my dog and I listen to a YouTube video.
Right.
You know, here, you know, Mark and I are just talking heads here. You could also put us in your pocket and walk around in your audio.
Well, this is going into our audio only podcast feed as well, which does get published to YouTube as well.
So yeah, there you go.
But Bradley, you gave me an idea. So there's a tool I've used for this kind of thing. Now I use it often for my podcast, for my personal podcast, The Stark Reflections, but headliner.app, and it's free. And I thought while we were talking, I just loaded one of the recent teasers. So what you can do is you load an audio clip, you put the image there, and then you see the nice little waveform. So when it gets shared on social media, they know to turn on the audio, but you can also get that free transcription. So this is I'm just going to play a clip from this.
Honestly, it's been a challenge. My writing time, I have three small kids, and I run my own business. So my writing time wasn't that big to begin with. So, you know, and every book, I had to find a new way to adapt. I remember with the first Remy book, I had one child and she was a...
So that's just an example. That's like a, you know, like a minute long clip.
Yeah.
And it's free. I mean, I do actually have a paid version of Headliner only because I've been using it for a long time. And after a year of using it, I felt guilty that I never gave them a dime. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to pay for the thingy. So I want to support the company because I want them to be around.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Headliner. One note is if you keep it under 10 minutes, you get a few more features. Like I think the
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the transcriptions are more than 10 minutes like that. I saw you had the progress bar at the bottom.
Yeah. That's those little things. Yeah. 10 minutes.
Well, and frankly, speaking of nonfiction and speaking of different media out there, I would have to say that under 10 minutes is a good sort of standard or benchmark to try to shoot for. To shoot for keeping the thing under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, attention span, all the studies, blah, blah, blah. But many things are under 10 minutes. And I often find that there are often rules with technology. Oh, if it's under 10 minutes, you get these features. So it's sort of a good thing technologically, but also just with the commute or the metro ride or the walking the dog, under 10 minutes and get your message through.
Oh, for
Mark
sure.
And I like to keep these under 30.
Those digestible chunks, because here's the thing. Writing Excuses is a podcast I enjoy listening to because it's this is Brandon Sanderson and a whole bunch of friends of his, and it's 15 minutes because you don't have the time and we're not that smart, right? Like, so it's nice digestible. But that's here's funny. The thing. I usually batch listen because I listen at speed and a half. I'll listen to like 6 episodes in an hour.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I know for example, some people will batch listen to podcasts because I'll get comments from people who's like batch listen to a month of my podcast rather than waiting for the weekly. So those 10 minute chunks allow people to consume the way they want to consume. Like, oh, I'm gonna get Johnny B. Truant. We saw him at Author Nation, has a really great podcast where he kind of just reflects on whatever it is. It's just like something to chew on. And they're just really wonderful nuggets. And this does not lead to a book, but it could lead to a book of his. It could lead to something. What he is doing is he's building up an audience for himself. And then I think he's not doing really nonfiction anymore. He's doing mostly fiction. But I think the branding that he's using is, hey, I like the way this guy thinks. I really enjoy getting these nuggets of wisdom from him. Oh, I bet you he's entertaining. Maybe he'll be entertaining if in his fiction. The other thing I talked about going to local libraries, but you could potentially go to local clubs, local business clubs, local chamber of commerce, depending on your expertise and what it is you've written about. Right. So there's so many different things. And then the other thing is to think beyond just the bookstore, just trying to get your book into bookstores. Are there specialty shops that align with what you've done? Now, obviously, magic and potions shops and stuff, my true ghost story books might be a fit there. There may be opportunities for me to talk to groups like that. You can find out, like you just go to local convention center and see what are the cons that they have scheduled coming up.
Yeah.
Like when we were at Author Nation, there was a Humane Society. I think there was a Humane Society or was it a guide dog? It was guide dogs. There was a guide dog conference taking place at the same hotel. Well, what if my book and my specialty is about, you know, dogs and it's about the care of dogs or it's anything related to that world. Oh my God, there's an audience there for you, right?
Yeah. Wow. You know, and also I'm thinking what you said, depending on your industry, I mean, I met Julie Broad last week and she does book launchers and she was talking about, she started out in real estate. And when in the real estate industry, she says, hey, I have a book. And they're like, oh, wow. In the real estate industry, that was something unique. You have a book? What? Whereas we authors, I mean, we all have books.
You have a book? Oh my God, so do I.
Next.
Yeah. We're
in some other industry, it's still, it's very much, I mean, you know, you and I are biased because we've written a whole bunch of books and we hang out with authors all the time. But people not in the author or book or publishing industry, it's still, you know, quite the achievement. Like, oh, wow, you wrote a book? Sure, come on and talk to our real estate industry or our XYZ industry. Yeah.
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah. I mean, in going to Author Nation, we're one of, you know, 1,900 authors or whatever who are there who've written a book or are writing a book. You go to the guide dog and the person who wrote a book, any person who wrote a book about dogs, I bet you, is going to be absolutely compelling to that audience because they love dogs. Already, right?
Looking
to those communities as a nonfiction author, so thinking, what is your area of expertise? Who is this going to benefit? And where do they gather and how can I connect with them in a different way, right? So the Home Depot is an example, right? So I've got a book on woodworking or I've got whatever. They do classes, they do crafts. It's like, well, hey, I have a a thing on how to do this. Are you looking for people to help you with this sort of? I mean, I'm not saying stand in the parking lot and try and wave your book at people, but you never know. Right?
You never know.
I mean, I've done outside breweries, right? Set up tents outside breweries I pay the rent to have my tent set up there, but because I know that people sometimes going in, especially if they're by themselves, they may want to grab something to read on the way in.
Yeah.
So
wow, this is such. You know, I have to say, also, dear nonfiction authors who are watching this. I mean, look at this. We've been talking here for 20 plus minutes, and I think I have lots of ideas. Mark has lots of ideas, and I've learned a few things along the way here. So I would also recommend go talk with other nonfiction authors. Go see what they're doing, and if they're in the industry that Mark and I are in, and if they are anything like most indie authors, and if you're watching this, you are not an indie author. You're not going to understand this, but we are very collaborative and cooperative and a friendly bunch, and we are giving. And just like now, here we are, we're giving away the farm here with nonfiction strategies.
Some ideas.
Because I don't know what it is with this industry, but it is such a caring, loving, friendly industry. I don't know. The secret's out, I guess. But
it really is. Now, speaking of caring and loving, I completely forgot. I've been sent a question prior to going live. This question came to me via direct message. So this is a question about nonfiction, and it's from Laurie. And Laurie says, I want to add photos to a historical nonfiction book. Wikipedia Commons looks like a good option. Have you used them? They're okay with commercial. I'm sorry, I typed this wrong. They're okay with commercial use. If we credit the photographer or the collection. And I think in this particular case, Laurie was looking at some photos of Churchill that were in the public domain and available through Wikimedia Commons. Now, I have actually used them for some of my own nonfiction books, both traditionally published and indie published. I had a picture of a snowman from like 1870 or something like that, like one of the earliest pictures of a snowman in one of my books. I think it's critical that you double check to make sure you have the right. So public domain, you should be safe. Make sure public domain around the world, not just in the US as well, because you know that is something that happens with our books. I'm a big fan of attribution. So saying like, this is where I got this image. Like, for example, in a book that I'm working on now, I licensed the image, but in the book itself, I have this as the image. And then I basically say licensed from here because I want to credit where I got it from. I had to pay for it. But even when it's public domain, you know, just denoting that you got it from Wikimedia Commons or whoever the collector was. So attribution is so critical, I think. And again, it's just also a way, especially with nonfiction. The other thing I often do is sourcing where I got the information and putting that in the back of the book. So sometimes you can get all analytical and put the little notes and the detailed notes. But sometimes I'll just say, here are the sources I used. If you want more information, there's a whole book about this. I only used a little bit.
Okay. Oh, I like that. Yeah. It's also good. It's helpful for the readers. Oh, I wanted to know more about that. And there they go. Now they know where to go.
Cool. And Russell just popped up this comment saying, I write about military history and have given talks to military history societies.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Phil. Philip. Thank you, Russell. Sorry. based on the stuff that you're writing about, there's some, because again, there's your audience right there.
Yeah.
And they're going to be really excited that you have a book on this topic, as opposed to other authors who are like, okay,
So. And you know what, here's a fun tip that you are either going to love or hate, but this stuff, it takes some legwork. You know, that Russell just found that group, well, he did a little legwork to go find that group. So
contacted someone or pitched to them or said, hey, I have a book and this is a specialty that I have. I'd love to share these insights, this knowledge with you.
Like they say, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it.
Exactly. So I guess we're getting close to the 30 minute mark. So I guess we're going to be wrapping this up. Bradley, this was a lot of fun. Glad we got to do this again.
Yeah, this is great. Especially we, the minority in the nonfiction world here, especially last week at Author Nation. Although I have to say, so many people came up to me and said, oh, I write nonfiction too.
Yeah. Cool. So if you've got nonfiction, hopefully that's given you a few ideas. Feel free to leave comments and thoughts as well over at youtube.com. And of course, check out all of the fun stuff, both in the Facebook group and in the Circle group via wideforthewin.com. Bradley, thanks for hanging out again.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great to see you not in person, after we saw each other in person.
After seeing each other, yeah, in person.
Yeah, it's so much more real.
Yeah, bye everyone.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, was written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.